morning, friends. Welcome, and thank you for joining us in what we're calling a conspiracy of goodness. Playing the guitar and the harmonica, telling the stories of the people of America, America's troubadour Larry Long. Recording the songs and stories of the people of our nation, Brett Hughes. I'm Tom Thibodeau, and today we're honoring teachers.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must a cannonball fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Larry Long has been an educator all of his life, and one of the projects he began is Elder's Wisdom Children's Song. 35 years ago, we brought him into a graduate course in education on the philosophy of education, and Larry looked at all those teachers and said, "Tell me, what have you learned here in the last 3 weeks?" And then began writing down their phrases and learnings on butcher board paper. And then he said, "Let's build a song." And together those teachers got together and put together what we've called a teacher's rap. Now, I know it's odd doing rap with a guy about 70 years of age, but here's how it goes. Written by Larry Long over 35 years ago, it's still meaningful today. Teaching is to educate, to discuss, to meditate, thinking, wisdom, knowledge, love, to store up like a dove, freedom. Teaching is to always learn, you can't judge me by what I earn, love and students is my thrust. But thank God for June, July, and August. You know, I went to the bank and I got some money, load the boat and kiss my honey. So long, I went fishing. You know, I reeled them out and I reeled them in. Some you lose and some you win. That's the way my teaching's been. But I keep on reeling, keep on feeling, keep on sharing, keep on caring. Stand at a table, get a new look, add a new page to your book. Now's the time to bait the hook. Take action. Dead poets seem the last. They see the present from the past. Carpe diem, seize the day. What does that mean anyway? Good question. More questions. You know, the more I ask, the more I learn. The more I learn, the less I earn. I'm a teacher. Carpe diem. That's a wrap. So Larry put together that phrase, and I've been repeating that to teachers for the last 35 years. And what happened is that summer, we went back to the basics of education. Basics are not reading, writing, and arithmetic. The basics of the Greek schools were passion, knowledge, and love. All of us are here today because of love of a teacher. The mere act of teaching means that one wishes the world well. Think about your own life right now. Who's somebody you'd like to go back and thank? I'd like to go back and thank Mrs. Gillis. I'm in third grade at St. Mary's Grade School, and Mrs. Gillis looks at me and says, "Tom, today you're going to spend the recess in with me learning how to write." I said, "Mrs. Gillis, I don't know how to write." She said, "Exactly." At recess time, she gave me a piece of chalk and said, "Get up to the board." I got up to the board and I wrote a scriggle. The next day, there were letters. By the third or fourth day, words appeared and I was on the brink of a sentence. The next week I stayed in, and every day at recess she taught me how to write. I almost had a paragraph. The third week I said, "What are we going to do today, Mrs. Gillis?" And she says, "Nothing, you're going outside." That woman who had given up her morning break for 2 weeks because she saw potential in a lazy boy. I began to write more carefully, read more carefully, and for the first time in my life, learning became a joy rather than a chore. To show it all goes around, when my dad was ready to retire as an attorney, he sent letters out to his past clients, and Mrs. Gillis came in and she said, "Greg, how's Tom doing?" And he looked at her and smiled. "Well, he writes very well now." Thank you, Mrs. Gillis. I write and I speak and always remember you. Thank you for wishing me well.
How many years can a mountain exist before it's washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head, pretending he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
When I was in seventh grade, I was out at recess and we were playing basketball, probably about this time of the year where you took one bounce and then you could run with the ball 2 feet and then you could shoot it. And you know how seventh grade boys are. We're tussling and we're jostling, and I don't know if somebody slapped me or hit me in the mouth with an elbow, but they split my lip. I didn't cry because, of course, I'm a tough guy, and I'm biting my lip as I came into the class, and I put my coat on a back hook in the back and sat at my desk in the back, and I was there, and there was blood running down my chin. Sister John Marie, I was at a Catholic grade school, Sister John Marie, just her name scares some of you, and she walks back and she puts her arm around my shoulder, shielding my face from the rest of the class. Reaches into her sleeve and pulled out a box of Kleenex, took my hand, my face in my hand, and dabbed down the blood and wiped away the tears and preserved the dignity of a seventh grade boy. I'll always remember Sister John Marie. I wonder if she remembered me. But probably not. Teachers preserve the dignity and the human respect of children every day. The mere act of teaching means that one wishes the world well.
How many times must a woman look up before she can see the sky? How many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till she knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
So I'm a senior in high school, and we're in physics class. And Mr. Kubicki, isn't it amazing? He didn't call teachers by their first name. It was Mr. Kubicki. Mr. Kubicki was a naval officer in the Pacific during World War II. In fact, he was there when they were practicing with the atomic bombs, and he even had some radiation burns on his face. And he came into class one day, no nonsense, and wrote up on the right hand of the board, HHP, HHP, and underneath it was our homework assignment. Well, all of us were intimidated by Mr. Kubicki, but I don't know, somewhere in the first part of the second week, somebody had the courage to say, Mr. Kubicki, what does HHP stand for? And he said, teaching and learning is the highest honor and privilege. I'll always remember that. He was a citizen, a Navy veteran, a husband, a father, a man of faith. He was our teacher. All these years later, I never forget how he challenged us to embrace a higher honor and privilege. And then I come to Viterbo University over 38 years ago, and I met what I believe to be the smartest woman in the universe. She and Larry and I became great friends, and she taught both of us as young men different things, not only about music and teaching, but about life. Lorian Peterick, bachelor's degree in chemistry, master's degree in English literature, a doctorate in philosophy that she did in Greek with Latin discussions on Wednesday afternoons. She forgot more than I'll ever know, and I began teaching a philosophy education course with her, and every time she spoke, I took notes. In fact, she'd get the New York Times on Sunday, she would circle articles and send the paper to me, and then by midweek was asking me what I've learned. She was always dedicated to me as a person, as a learner, as a friend. And during one of our classes, I got launched and I started talking about the ideas that were exciting me, and I wanted to bring those ideas alive in the lives of our students. At the end of a three-hour class, I sat down at a table across from Lori, and she looked at me and said, "Oh, that was good." I said, "Really?" She said, "Oh, I took a lot of good notes." I said, "You took notes on me?" "Oh," she said, "have I enjoyed what you taught me today?" I said, "Really?" I said, "I always wanted to be like my mentor, Tom Etten." And she looked at me and she smiled and she said, "You are like Tom Etten." I said, "Really? He always wanted to bring ideas and people together." She said, "You do that." I said, "Did you know Tom Etten?" And she smiled in a wise fashion. And she tapped me on the hands and she said, "I taught Tom Etten. I was sitting there looking into the eyes of my mentor's mentor. The mere act of teaching means that one wishes the world well."
You know, Tom, as Pete Seeger once said, he said, "Long live teachers of children, because they can show children how they can save the world," from Pete Seeger. The song "Blowin' in the Wind" that I sang at the start of the program is constructed entirely around the methodology of good teaching. Instead of giving the answer, Bob Dylan posed a series of questions for us all to reflect upon. A program I developed over 30 years ago called Elder's Wisdom, Children's Song, which brought me into thousands of classrooms teaching throughout the United States, is entirely built upon that same principle of simply listening and asking a good question. Specifically, those elders brought in share their life stories with children. Children in turn ask them questions based upon what they heard, out of which they write a song in their honor. One of those elders we honored was the late Mrs. Helen Chuchia. She was the grandmother of one of the children in the fourth grade Eden Prairie Elementary classroom where I was working. The story she shared with the students that day was quite emotional and not only filled with historic importance, but of great importance to me personally. And I'll tell you why. When I was 13 years of age, my father passed away. Good neighbors helped my family through with bringing food to our doorstep and writing letters of comfort. One of those letters of comfort came from my little league coach, Mr. Maeda. 30 years after my father's death, I came back upon Mr. Maeda's letter of condolence. I was so moved by his words that I sought him out. He had moved to Oceanside, California. He was terminally ill. I called and thanked him for his letter of comfort when my father passed and for his years of volunteering as my little league coach. Mr. Maeda said to me, "Larry, my family was part of the 125,000 Japanese Americans placed into internment camps during World War II. I have one favor to ask. Could you please write a song about the Japanese American internment camps?" I promised Mr. Maeda I would. He passed away soon thereafter before I could get his story. In his honor, I visited the Manzanar internment camp in California where his family was incarcerated. I read books about the Japanese American experience with hope of some form of inspiration, but nothing came in a way of a song until I heard Mrs. Helen Chuchia speak that day in the classroom. Helen Chuchia, too, was a Japanese-American internment survivor. I later discovered that her husband and she were best friends with Mr. Maeda and his family. And not only that, but her husband coached with Mr. Maeda in the Babe Ruth League. This song, "Be Kind to All That Live," not only honors Mrs. Chuchia, but also is a fulfillment of the promise made to my little league coach, Mr. Maeda. My father, he was a farmer. He grew the grapes to make the wine out in the fields of California. He grew the grapes that grew on the vine. Words alone cannot restore lost years that won't come back no more. If only we could right the wrongs of the past in this song. Be kind to all that live. From Japan, mother and father came to this land where I was born. But after Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, the life we loved was no more. It was like the grapes of wrath, the home we loved was ransacked. Mother left wedding pictures there to protect our home, soon stripped bare. Be kind to all that live. Three sisters and I and one brother, mother and father forcibly removed into a camp behind barbed wire to live in a 20 square foot room with one toilet after another. No partitions, no privacy. Two bathrooms for several hundred American Japanese. Be kind to all that live. We made the best of a bad situation. 3 long years in an intern camp. Kabuki plays standing ovation. So many never did come back. If I were to change tomorrow, I would start here right now to help put an end to sorrow. I believe we each know how. Be kind to all that live.
Larry, you have called forth elders to become teachers of the young across the country. Think about how many children find themselves now in their 20s and 30s humming the melodies that you put into their minds and to their hearts. The mere act of teaching means that one wishes the world well. Friends, to belong to a conspiracy of goodness, how about contacting an elder, a teacher, a coach, and thanking them for the ways in which they have improved, enriched, and blessed your lives. Thank you so much for joining us again in this conspiracy of goodness. Until we meet again, peace and all good.
And as in the words of advice given to the children that day by Mrs. Helen Chuchia, be kind to all that live, and thank you for all that you do.
You have been listening to Conspiracy of Goodness with Larry Long and Tom Thibodeau, produced and recorded by Brett Hoos. For more information about Larry and Tom, please visit www.larrylong.org and www.tomttalks.com. We look forward to being with you next week. Thank you for listening.